funded or is known as numbers by those who speak, Latin or English, Chumash people. It's called Sefer HaPekudim by Chazal. Sefer HaPekudim is the Sefer of Numbers. So, okay, granted, you know, for people who don't know what's going on, I guess you could say the very first thing in Bamidbar is all about the numbers of Bnei Yisrael, and then later on they count them again in Parshas Pinchas. I hear that. They count them twice in Bamidbar. I hear that. But that doesn't make any sense why you're going to call the whole Sefer Numbers based on two things that happened throughout all of Bamidbar. The obvious word that would describe everything that happened in Sefer Bamidbar is Midbar. What happened in the desert? That would be the greatest word to describe them. There's no other word that describes what happened here. The countings happened in the desert. Their sins happened in the desert. Their continuation, everything they had, welcome Yosef, but everything they did was in the desert. So why are you concentrating on the counting more than anything else? What does the counting have to do with anything? Says the Netziv, a beautiful answer. This answer is all out there. This Sefer highlights the difference between the original generation of Bnei Yisrael Galut Mitzrayim, called Dor HaMidbar, and the Dor Bayi La'aretz. Those people came into Eretz Yisrael. This is going to highlight the difference between those two generations. Klal Yisrael changed everything about themselves. In the desert, they were the Midah of Tiferes. They were punished immediately whenever they did anything wrong. They went ahead and they complained about something, immediately a fire started. They went ahead and they said something wrong, immediately people died. They said, we want slav, we want something to eat, immediately they were killed by the slav, and they ate some slav, and they died from the slav. That's what happened immediately every time. They were living with Moshe Rabbeinu in an area that was above nature, beyond this natural world. They had clouds around them, they had mud to eat, they had the Be'er Shel Miriam around them at all times. They had this stuff. When they came to Eretz Yisrael, they came back down to reality a little bit. They went back down to reality with Hashkacha being a little less clear. It was no longer, here's God, He's doing everything for you. It was, you'll fight the war yourselves, God will let you win, but it's not as clear as it once was. It's not that way. Think about it. Sihon and Og were massive giants, but they still had to fight Sihon and Og. They didn't see Sihon and Og fall down in front of them, although Og had that mountain that went on top of his neck and he threw down, but they didn't see just a regular thing. They had to fight a war. When they went in against Eretz Canaan, they fought a war against 31 kings. It wasn't just a normal process of the miraculous, all of a sudden this happens and that happens. There was starting to get used to the regular day, everyday life that they were there. The matzah was barely used. It was put away, very seldom used, since that first year. Because this wasn't a time for the matzah anymore. The first door, the door on Midbar, they were into the matzah. These people had nothing to do with it. Says the Netziv, that difference happens in the Sefer. That's what Bamidbar is all about. The difference between that first generation and the next generation. How they changed in Parshas Baloska from one way of treating, of living your life miraculously, to a life being lived in natural occurrences with crazy things happening behind the scenes. That's what Bamidbar is all about. That's why it's called Numbers. Because this Sefer is really all about that. The numbers that they had when they started and the numbers they had when they ended. It was both around the area of 600,000. 600,000 was around the number. That was the number that they had, but it was very, very different 600,000 people. 600,000 people that was Dor HaMidbar, that received the Torah at Har Sinai, that saw the Makos, that saw Kriyas Yam Suf. 600,000 people who got used to eating bread, who did say Kriyas HaYarden. They saw a Kriyas HaYarden, but they saw natural wars and they saw problems. They saw issues. It wasn't the same, and that's the difference. Now maybe we can understand the difference, says the Netziv, in why right in the middle there's those backwards nuns in Parshas Baloska, and according to Chazal, there's a sixth and a seventh Sefer Torah. It's not Hamisha Kum Sheitara. There's seven Sefer Torah. According to this, it makes a lot of sense. That was the parting point. Right then, when they sinned their third time, that's right then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's no longer. I can't treat them the same way. No longer can it be that way where they're punished immediately for their sins. Only their great people will be treated that way. Nobody else will be treated that way. The slav took 30 days to punish the Jews. 30 days for them to die. Not immediate death, like they had when they complained by the Misonanim and Isabu Taiva. Not immediate death. It took a long time. The Dor HaMidbar, when they complained and they said they didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael, how long did it take them to die after the Chet of the Meraglim? 39 years. That's a long time. Now, there's Erech HaPayim. It became a brand new generation, a brand new way of living. And that's what it means by a sixth and a seventh safer. There's a division over here. There's a division that separates what's going on from one generation to the other. That's the concept and why it's so important, how they were going to be taken around. That's the pshat behind the Medrash Rabbah. Medrash Rabbah says in the beginning of the parsha, it says, "Vayidab Arsham Moshe b'midbar Sinai." It says, "Vayavdel Elokim bin Or uvin Choshech." This is the difference. HaKadosh Baruch Hu differentiated between the Or, the light, and the Choshech, the dark. There was the light, which was Dor HaMidbar, which had everything good, all the crazy miracles in the desert and everything that was happening to them. There's just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly watching over them, and then a different type of watching over us in a Nisr way, where He's behind the scenes taking care of us in a different way. That's the difference between these two Pekudim. That's why, in the first time they got counted, there's Degulim. There's areas where each person had to be. The Nisim were in charge. Each one, one from every Shevet, had to count them up. In Pekudei, there's no Degulim. It doesn't say anywhere that they were camped in certain areas. It doesn't say anywhere about Nisim being in charge of counting each one for every Shevet. It doesn't say that anywhere. You know why? Because it had nothing to do with that. It's no longer the same generation. They're going into Eretz Yisrael. They don't need those flags anymore. They don't need those areas anymore. That's not what it's all about. That's the pshat behind it. The difference between these two numbers, and that's the name of this Parsha more than anything else. Not that Parsha. This Sefer. It's all about the numbers. That's the idea. Now the Gemara brings a Stira. Gemara brings an idea that says, the Hayom Mispar B'nai Yisrael. The B'nai Yisrael is going to be a huge number. There's going to be a huge number of B'nai Yisrael. And another pasuk it says, the Gemara Brachos, Asher Lo Yisafer. They will never be counted. You cannot count all of B'nai Yisrael. So the Gemara answers. One place is where they're doing Ratzon Hashem. If they're doing Ratzon Hashem, they'll never be counted. They're going to be so numerous. You won't be able to count them. They'll be like the sand of the sand by the sea, or they're going to be like the stars in the sky. And then the other one is where they're not doing Ratzon Hashem. If they're not doing Ratzon Hashem, then they can be counted. They can be counted. Says the Chassam Sofer, everyone asks the following question on David HaMelech. They look at David and they say, what did David HaMelech do wrong? Why in the world did he count B'nai Yisrael by just counting them by head? It's a straight out pasuk that you can't count B'nai Yisrael that way. Kisisa is Rosh B'nai Yisrael. It's a pasuk in Kisisa. How in the world could David HaMelech have thought that you can count B'nai Yisrael by each person by head without them giving a coin, without them bringing a korban? Shaul counted them by sheep. B'nai Yisrael were counted by Moshe Rabbeinu by the Chatzi Shekel. So how in the world could David HaMelech have thought any other way would be good? What was the Havamina? What was he thinking in the first place to do such a thing? That's the Ramban's question right at the beginning of the Parsha. He asked on David HaMelech, and it's a serious Shiloh. David HaMelech was punished for 3 years. There was a famine in Klal Yisrael and plagues going on in Klal Yisrael because of what David HaMelech did, because he counted B'nai Yisrael. Yoav, the general of his army who was commanded to go count them, he argued on the king. He was almost in a Murid ben Malchus because he was arguing on David HaMelech and said, you're not allowed to count B'nai Yisrael. And David HaMelech said, count them anyway. What is that? What's he doing? Why is he doing that? What was the point of that? You can't say it's just a silly mistake. It's David HaMelech. He's not going to make a silly mistake. So what's Shapi and David HaMelech making this type of a mistake?
We thought they weren't doing Ratzon Hashem.
Chassam Sofer says, if the answer is they're doing Ratzon Hashem versus not doing the Ratzon Hashem, he says the exact opposite of what you just said. He said the following. He said, he thought, shot behind the stira, was not, they're doing Ratzon Hashem, they can't be counted. They're not doing Ratzon Hashem, then they can be counted. He learned it up the opposite way. Think of this. If they're doing the Ratzon Hashem, then you can count them by head without taking anything from them if they're doing Ratzon Hashem. If they're not doing Ratzon Hashem, then you can only count them if you take sheep or a chasi shekel or something similar. What it means, you won't be able to count them, means you won't be able to count them without doing something. You can't count them by person. You're going to have to take something from them, and that's how you'll be able to count them. So if they're doing Ratzon Hashem, do it stop. If they're not doing Ratzon Hashem, then you have to count them in a different way. That's how he understood the stira. He didn't have Rashi, so he had his own pshat in the Gemara, his own pshat in the stira, and he understood it that way. And his proof was this week's Parsha. By Parsha is Kisisa. The counting took place after the Egel Azov. After the Egel Azov, they had sinned. So when they sinned, what did they have to do in order to be counted? You give a chatzi shekel. Because if you sin, then you have to be counted with a chatzi shekel. But if you didn't sin here, they've been good for the past couple months. It's the Mishkan has been built. They've been perfect. They hadn't done anything wrong. And it doesn't say anywhere. It doesn't say anywhere that they counted them with sheep. Or they had a chatzi shekel and parshas by Midbar. It seems they were counted by head. They counted them by head. How could you do that? You're not allowed to do that. Must be. They're doing Ratzon Hashem. When you're doing Ratzon Hashem, you can count them as is, says the Chasam Sofer. That's David HaMelech's shot. He looked at Bnei Yisrael in his time. He looked at them and he said, they're doing Ratzon Hashem. Everybody's doing the right thing. We're all doing Ratzon Hashem. If we're doing the Ratzon Hashem, you can count them by head. Yoav said, no. They need to give a chatzi shekel. And David HaMelech said, you're choshed b'ksheirim. You're suspecting bad things about good people. Yoav, they don't deserve to give a chatzi shekel. They don't deserve to give a sheep. You should count them by head. And I don't want you to do anything else. Count them by head. They deserve it. That's David HaMelech's shot. So how is he wrong? That's a solid shot. I mean, that's an unbelievable shot. That works out really well. He had proof. He had everything going. So how do you understand it the other way? Here's the problem. Pshat is that even though David HaMelech thought that there were tremendous people, if they were really that great, they wouldn't have had a number at the end of it. Because I know that David HaMelech learned pshat in that way. But the literal pshat in the pasuk of Asher Lo Yisafer means they won't be able to be counted. There shouldn't be a number at the end of it. David HaMelech made a drush while the pshat was not the same. And when there's a pshat that's easier to understand than the drush is, count them with sheep. Don't count them regularly, count them with sheep. But there's a pshat, count them in one way, don't count them at all in the other way, you have to go with pshat over drush. And that's the difference between what David HaMelech understood and what ended up happening. Once they had a number at the end, it was 603,550, and then David HaMelech knew he made a mistake, and he immediately did tshuva. That's when he realized. He thought it was going to be innumerous, that they wouldn't be able to count them whatsoever. It was going to be like literally stars in the sky. And Yoav would come back and say, I've got no number. When Yoav came back with a number, David HaMelech said, uh-oh, that's bad. He shouldn't have come out with something. That's a crazy pshat that Chasam Sofer says in this idea. But I got to bring you a crazy medrash to pull it up. Listen, this medrash deals with this week's parsha as well as Shavuos. So it goes in together as one. There's an unbelievable conversation. The non-Jews asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do we, the Jews, get the Torah? Why are we deserving to get the Torah? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered them, show me your lineage. Show me your yichus. Do you have lineage? Do you have a yichus that goes all the way back? That's this week's parsha. We show that we have a lineage. We're connected to our Abu, our Shvatim, and we go all the way back to Har Sinai. That's the concept. Show us the lineage. But how does that answer the question? Why does Bnei Yisrael deserve it? Just because they have fathers and grandfathers and they can pull themselves back here. That's the answer? What does that mean, show me your lineage? How does that answer the question? Again, the Chasam Sofer. Our Avos implanted within us spiritual DNA. When the Avram Avinu was willing to shecht Yitzchak Avinu at the Akedah, from then on, every Jew has within him the willingness and the ability to be Moser Nefesh for the Torah. Everyone's willing to die for the Torah. Everyone. Everyone's willing to sacrifice their kids' lives for the Torah. They're willing to do that. That was implanted within us. It's given within us. So even when we sin, deep down, we still want to do mitzvahs. Everybody knows the famous Rambam. What happens if a guy doesn't want to give a get? Guy's a get that he has to give. He doesn't want to give it. Kofenoso, Ashioma Rotsani. Force him until he says, I want to give the get. What does that mean? He doesn't want to give the get. You can't force somebody to say, I want to. You can force somebody to give it, but you can't force them to say, I want to. The answer is, he does want to. Deep down inside, covered up with all that filth and garbage, he wants to give the get. But he's covered up with filth. So Kofenoso, beat it out of him until you bring him down to the pintle yid, that little yid on the inside, to the spiritual DNA, and that's when he can say, yes, I want it. That's what Kriyas Ahar is. You take the mountain, Har Sinai, you put it down on top, and it says to Bnei Yisrael, accept it or die. There's no other choice. It's either accept it or die. That's the pshat. Behind that works by us. Forcing us to do it works, because we have spiritual DNA that when we're forced to do it, we really want to do it. By the other Jew, by the other non-Jews of the world, you force them to do it, they're just forced. They don't want it. They're just forced to do it. So it doesn't work by them. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to them, show me your Yichus. If you can show me you're from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I'll give you the Torah. But otherwise, I can't force it on you. Because it's not Kofinos HaShem Arotzani. You don't have that spiritual DNA that's going to make you want to do it even when I force you. So there's nothing you can do. You know the famous Rabbi Kiva Eger Chassam Sofer conversation? I'm sorry? I still don't have Yaakov. It does work by Yishmael somewhat, and the Esav somewhat. But it doesn't work by all of them because they never had Yaakov. They have Avram and Yitzchak, but that's not enough. You need all three of us for it to be able to work. Everybody knows the famous conversation. Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Chassam Sofer. Rabbi Kiva Eger asked a question. The Chassam Sofer answered it. It is a brilliant question. Okay, very abstract. Why is it when every Jew goes off the derech and they become an apostate or a Christian, they hate the Jews that they left? But when a Christian becomes a ger, he doesn't give a darn about the Christian people. It's always us that go off the derech. I should say us. Those that go off the derech that ruin it for everyone else. That's what ends up happening. That's what, every time. But when a non-Jew becomes a ger, he's all good. Those people were great, and these people are great. This is the truth. Why is it that way? And I'm telling you, if you really think about it, it's a crazy question. Because you never see it any other way. When has there been a Jew that has gone off the derech completely, not a little bit or whatever, has gone off the derech completely, doesn't believe in any bit of Judaism anymore, who still loves Jews? When has there been a ger who doesn't dislikes the non-Jews so much that they can't stand them, that they tell bad lies about them? When has that ever happened? Says the Chassam Sofer, he answered, Rabbi Kiva Eger left it as a tzarachin. Left it as a tzarachin, he said, I don't have a shot. Chassam Sofer answered the question. He said, at Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went around the entire world and asked them, do you want the Torah? I don't know how that happened. I don't know when it happened. I can't tell you that answer. I honestly have absolutely no idea. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked every nation in the world that they want the Torah. Every nation in the world got up and said, what's in it? They were told, they said, no. There were a couple people in every nation that wanted to say yes. But because everyone else was saying no, they were like, okay, I guess no. They couldn't put themselves out there. They were just too embarrassed to say yes. They didn't want to do it. It was pure pressure by the Jews. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to the Jews and says, hey guys, do you want to keep the Torah? So what did the Jews say? Ma'aseh v'nishma, we're in. We're ready for it. There were a couple Jews that sat there and said, hold on a second. Are we sure about this, guys? But because everyone else was saying yes, what did they have to do? They had to get up and say, yeah, all right, what are we getting ourselves into? If you're forced to do something, says the Chassam Sofer, you feel resentment against those people that forced you to do it. If you're not forced to do something, you're just not strong enough to get up and do it. You're just not strong enough to do it. You don't feel resentment. You just feel bad for yourself. You feel bad for yourself. You're not upset at the people who, you know, you just didn't feel strong enough to be able to beat. That's pshat. The Jews that go off the derech later on are the neshamos of those Jews that wanted to say no but couldn't. And they have resentment. And the resentment comes out in hatred for the Jews when they leave the faith. By the other hand, the non-Jews, they don't feel resentment. They just feel sad that they couldn't have done this before. When they become Jews, they don't care about the other non-Jews that are out there. It's a brilliant answer. And so much to do with what this is talking about. The only problem with all this is the next medrash. The next medrash, right after this about the lineage, is that in the very next part, the non-Jews go to Bilam during Matan Torah. They go to him during Matan Torah and they ask him, what's going on? The whole world is shaking. Is there another Mavel coming? Is the world going to be destroyed by the Mavel? And Bilam says to them, don't worry, Bnei Yisrael is just accepting the Torah. Hashem owes La'amo Yitain. Hashem is giving the oaths, the Torah, over to Bnei Yisrael. What were they asking? They knew Bnei Yisrael was accepting the Torah. In the previous medrash, they had just said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is Bnei Yisrael getting the Torah? They knew what they were getting. And then right afterward, they say, what's going on? Is there a marvel? They knew the Torah was being given. What are they asking? What's the pshat and the two midrashim going together? Oh my gosh, it's absolutely unreal. Most arguments that people have with one another, and most times where there's outright theft from one person, it comes due to Azus. Azus means brazenness. A person is very brazen. He's willing to do things that other people would be embarrassed to do. And he just finds the Azus within him to, you know what? I deserve that. I want that for myself. It's not gaiva. It's not pride. It's Azus. You're brazen. You're saying, it's mine and I'm taking it right now.
Is that a bad thing?
Azus mekzach can be a very bad thing when used incorrectly. Azus is the midah of mamzerim. A mamzer, a person who's born from an illegitimate relationship between a man and a woman, in any way, shape, or form, whether it's a rias or a married woman or whatever it is, a mamzer, his midah is azus metzach. He gets up and he argues with anyone. He starts fights. He wants to be that. He's that, I am ready to fight anyone. Who wants to go up against me? That's the type of person that the mamzer is. That's the concept. Yeah.
But the way that you explained what Azus is, I can think of some practical applications where that's probably a really a good...
Raga! You have to give me like 6 seconds. Okay? And when I say 6 seconds, I really mean like 6 minutes. But give me like 6 seconds and I'll count to 6 minutes, but it'll feel like 6 seconds because it's awesome. That's why the mabul happened. What happened by the mabul? There were riots, right? People were sleeping with whoever they wanted. Men were sleeping with women. They were sleeping with whoever they wanted. And their children were mamzerim. If their children are mamzerim, what do they have? Azus. So what did they end up doing? Stealing. So why was the mabul happening? Because of Arias and because of Gezel. It was because of those two things that happened, because those two things are connected to one another. B'nei Yisrael have yichus. We have Parshas Bamidbar. We show you what shevet you're from. The one guy who complained, the one guy who complained was the Mekalel. He cursed out a Kadosh Baruch Hu and he died because he complained about the orders of the camps. He complained about where he was supposed to go. We have order. We are supposed to know exactly where we are. So we are not mamzerim, even though we were in Mitzrayim and we were slaves to another nation. And you think that there were mamzerim all over the place. The only mamzer was that one mitzvah child. That one guy who cursed out God. That's the only guy. Everyone else was good. But we have to survive among the other nations. So listen to this pshat. There's a Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Chaf Hei. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Chaf Hei says there are three that are Az and Sheba Olam. Three things that are Az and Sheba Olam. The dog is mentioned. The rooster is mentioned. And then it comes to B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael is known as the Azin Sheba Olam. But wait, Azus is a bad thing. Azus is a midah of Mamzerim. Why do we have Azus? Because there's no way B'nai Yisrael would survive throughout the entire Midbar. We would never survive if we didn't have Azus. We have to stand up for what we believe in. And that's our Azus. It's a good form of Azus. I'm willing to stand up and say, this is right and that's wrong. That's what Jews have. We were given it as a gift. We shouldn't have it. Because people that have Yichus should be more bushadik, more embarrassed a little bit of what they have. Because they know they're great. They don't have to brag to other people. We know people that brag and that get out there and fight. Those are the people that are the least self, I guess you can say, self, what do you want to call it? The people that have the least amount of self-control. The people that don't believe in themselves. Those types of people are the guys that are ready to go out and Azus. But we get Azus as a gift so we can continue keeping the Torah no matter what they do, no matter what they say. So when they see us acting with Azus, the other nations of the world see us acting with Azus and not listening to the other nations of the world, they think we're Mamzerim. They think we slept around in Mitzrayim. They think our kids are not really ours. That's why there's so much Azus. Because we're full of Mamzerim. If that's true, then why should B'nai Yisrael get the Torah? That's the first Medrash. Why is B'nai Yisrael getting the Torah? They don't deserve it. They're Mamzerim. Just like us. We're all Mamzerim. What's the difference? To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bilam, told the non-nations of those other nations of the world, they're not Mamzerim. They have Yichus. Show me your Sefer Yichus. This is our Sefer Yichus. And we've got it. If we have it, we have no problems. We're not Mamzerim. But you guys don't have a Sefer Yichus. If you don't have a Sefer Yichus, you can't get the Torah. So they said, okay, granted, they'll get the Torah. But they're going to destroy the world. Because we see they have Azus. And Azus leads to Arias. And Arias leads to Gezel. And it's going to bring a Mabul about. They're going to be the people that bring about a Mabul. They're going to destroy the world. Even if you give them the Torah, they're still going to destroy the world because they have this Azus. They're going to use the Azus improperly. Eventually, they're going to use it improperly. To which Bilam said, Hashem owes La'amo Yitain. Hashem, here's the Chasam Sofer, gave them this Azus. And if Hashem gave them the Azus will only be used correctly and not incorrectly. It's amazing, right? Probably the most brazen people on TV are Jews. The biggest liberals, the people who are the hardest to deal with, are always Jews. Because there are people that use it incorrectly. That's our brazenness. That was a gift from God. That was a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but who knows? You don't want to say their mom's there. It's a possibility. There's some little bit of issue there, and that's the reason why it's there. It shouldn't be there. Because if a person has yichus, and there's no mamzerus, then there shouldn't be azus. That azus should not be around. And that's Hashem oz lamo yitain, and how do you end off? Hashem yivareches amo v'ashalom. That brings about peace and not fights. That's the idea behind it. In summary, why is this counting so important that the Sefer was named after it? Because the counting was the difference between one generation and the other. David HaMelech's mistake in the counting was thinking that we were too great, and therefore we could be counted. It's just the opposite. That's not the truth. The other nations wondered why we were zocheh to get the Torah. The truth is, it's because we have yichus. And that yichus that we have in the Torah is something that they can't, and they don't have. Maybe they could make it on their own from now on, but they didn't have it in the beginning. And that's what caused us to get the Torah and not them. And that allows us to continue to get the Torah. We also mentioned Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Chasam Sofer regarding the difference between Gerim and apostates in the world.